We're up here in the mountain states, where the rebels run and play. The Aggies got old Keaton back, and Boise chose to stay. I'm on that Mountain West connection, and I'm going to soundbite my hot takes. My internet's up and wired, and my Skype is up and at 'em for that Mountain West Sprott's hot takes. Well, I'm gonna travel up to Reno, and I'm going to travel to Fresno. I'll take the train to Albuquerque and fly the plane to Hawaii. I've got that Mountain West connection. Gonna see Colorado State. Gonna fly with Falcons and surf with the Aztecs on that journey from San Jose to Wyoming.
Welcome back to Mountain West Connection there. There was a little something different at the start of the show there.
Yeah, it sounded more mountainy.
Country music, or is it country or western? Which one is it?
hey, nice throwback to the Blues Brothers. No, actually, that was bluegrass, but it sounded
very country. There's a difference,
country,
too? So. Okay. Well, this is MWCConnection.com, a new theme song, so we have three to rotate in and out through the bunch. We will take requests. Give a Twitter... connect with Chris on Twitter, at Greg Padre. He will do his best to remix that for you. Maybe next time we can mix in some autotune to really mess it up. To do
wait, wait, wait. Hold on. I know what we can mix it in with. I don't know if you can hear this, but let's see. Let's try it anyway.
As you hear Chris furiously typing in the background to get something going.
All right.
Well, for those who don't know, Chris does that. This is our Nevada preview show. What is that?
Oh, it's the reggaeton horn.
Oh, yes. Okay. I heard. Oh, man. No, we're not doing that, Rob. We are going to discuss Nevada tonight. Again, this is the Mountain West Connection show. Jeremy here. That was Chris, the guy with the sound effects over there.
Yeah, see, this is why we don't do crazy sound effects. This is just because
we're not a Morty Zoo.
Evolved too much.
We can handle it, but it's difficult to. Yeah, it could be done, but it's not going to sound as good with somebody talking and pushing buttons to make funny noises. But like I said, this is Jeremy, Chris there, MWCConnection.com. Same on Twitter, Mountain West Connection on Twitter. Check us out. We are starting our top 50 preview after me posting something about 2 weeks early. We're actually on our top 50 countdown. Finally.
And so, it's excellent because...
It's the off-season.
We asked who we've missed so far in the honorable mention. We've gotten a few responses. It's been pretty awesome.
Yeah, thanks to our good guy Ben Phillips. I have been too busy, so he decided to take it upon himself. He's like, hey, let me help you finish this up so we can get going, because he's really excited about it. He not only updated what I did, he put a new chart together to calculate every vote. It probably took him a while, unless he's super fast with this stuff. He calculated every vote, which we were going to do anyways, but also made a chart from one to the last. And there were 94 people, 94 different players who got a vote. So 44 are outside top 50. So we know we also know one cool thing. The percentage of how, there's 8 voters who participate in this. The percentage of how, not necessarily accurate, but the amount of people we had in our list or your list or all the other Chris's list we have on there, Ben's list, Matt's list. They're all, it tells you like if you got 84% matching or 72% matching. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty awesome.
Oh, and also, one other thing. When he put together that list, he put down like, so we know exactly who came in at 51st, 52nd, 53rd as well.
Yeah. And also what's pretty sweet is this is the second or third year that we're doing.
Second year because the lovely Bleacher Report article last year, which was ridiculous over Memorial Day weekend, got everybody fired up.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You and Matt Kay did something crazy, and well, not crazy, but let's go see how this list sucks and let's make it better.
Yeah, yes, yeah, that's right. So, and it's led, and we have so many more writers and so many more writers participating.
Yeah, I think last year we had 5 or 6, so we added a few more up to 8. And you can also see, we have a story stream on our front page that'll be there through the rest of the season, or off season. and you can see who wore to where. Like, just for example, one of our Colorado State guys, Jacob, he already has a number 16th player. His number 16 player is a Brian Douglas, defensive back, Boise State.
See, but, and so we're totally causing controversy.
Yeah, but he didn't make that guy. Douglas didn't make the top 50 list. Number 51 is actually a kicker, Jared Roberts. And you can take Ben Mitchum for putting the kicker at, what, 22 or something, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
Something reasonable, 29. So you can see a lot of few things on there. There's already a few things I noticed now. Chris, you put Marcus Sullivan there, and I think you were the only one who put him on the list. UNLV wide receiver. Somehow Nick Vigil didn't make the list, and I think that could be a very big error on our end. I stuck him at 48, so you can't blame me for him not being on the list unless you want him higher.
No, that's fine.
And then I was the only one who put Cole Gauchy on the list for New Mexico quarterback. Do you think that was acceptable by any means?
I think it was acceptable. And this is the tough thing about the Mountain West top 50 is there's so many good players that people are going to be, you know, people are going to be forgotten. But that being said, is Cole Gauchy a top 50 player?
It depends.
I think he's a key player.
That's where I was about to say.
A key player in New Mexico's offense.
It depends if he's really one of the 50 best players or one of the 50 best players who's good on his team. Because when he's not in the offense, and our New Mexico show will be next week, but when he's not, he does a very good job of running the offense, actually running the offense in the pistol there with Coach Bob, Davey there, your best friend, Coach Bob.
What they do,
they run the ball well. They have the option. They do the. I think they even do some inverted veer, perhaps, in there out of the pistol. When he's not in the offense, it just shuts down and doesn't run very well. If he could, I tell you, if he could throw to anybody, like they had Carlos Wiggins, they had a guy transfer last year, a freshman who's very good. A few guys leave the team, but if he could actually throw the ball, he would legitimately be one of the better quarterbacks in the Mountain West. I'm not even saying going 250 yards per game, but do what Nate Romine's done for Air Force or the Air Force quarterbacks in the past. Those type of guys. Tim Jefferson, when he's their QB, he may go 6 of 9 for 125 yards with a touchdown, but also rushes for another 150. If he could do that, he would be on the list by everybody, but he just can't. He doesn't know how to throw the football.
So can I go ahead and ask, how did Shaquille Murray Lawrence also get an honorable mention?
You didn't vote for him.
Yeah, I was the only one who voted
for him. It was you?
No, it wasn't me.
That's why I said you did not vote for him.
Holy smokes, how did I not vote for him?
I don't know.
I thought I voted for him anyway.
Yeah,
too many good players.
And plus, it's tough to find 50 players. There's going to be – that's why we got 8 guys. So that's why you see this list, like my particular list, I have my 50 to 46 players are on the list already. And then you see there's some guys 40. Like I said earlier, Ben has a 22nd rated guy. Jacob has a 16th rated guy. So it's all over the board. It'll be fun. Good stuff to pass the days by before fall camp, which is pretty soon, and then eventually the season opener. What we're going to do – this was supposed to be done about a week before the season began. However, we're already within 50 days because last year we went from day 50 to day 1. But we figured these will get lost once we get to the week of the season with all of our previews, podcasts, your betting line posts, all stuff like that. What Wyoming's going to wear this week, that type of stuff, because they posted that every week last year. So what we're going to do now, we're still going to get it done before the season begins. It's not a 50-day countdown. We're going to do for the first 15 days post 2 a day starting tomorrow, which is or Monday whenever you're listening to this show. And then we'll go daily for the top 20. So this will be a 35-day deal and be done about a week and a half before the season begins. Plenty of time. And then one last thing before we begin. Chris, well, who's your cable or / satellite provider?
Cox.
Oh, you're lucky then.
Yes.
You are one of the newer people to get the SEC Network.
And you can SEC!
Watch, and you can watch Shecky Keaton hopefully beat up on Tennessee on Sunday, August 31st, I believe that is.
Saturday?
No, it's a Sunday.
Oh, it's a Sunday, so it'd be, yeah.
That's right. Move to Sunday night. Myself, I have DirecTV, which I don't want to get into that because I don't have the Pac-12 network. I don't too care too much for Longhorn Network, but I would watch some Texas football given the chance. SEC, I like Texas A&M and want to watch them. But no, DirecTV, we're trying to control our costs. Yeah, in the past year and a half, I've had two cost increases for HBO and Showtime, plus my regular package, so I'm trying to take them seriously. Let's move on. So if you have, who is it, Comcast should be coming up soon, or Xfinity. So I believe if you have Charter, UVerse, Dish, Cox Network, and Charter, you're good to go. So that's all I got now. So if you don't have it, make plans to watch it, if you have DirecTV, like me. Let's go to the actual game. I was in game mode. We're talking games. Now we're talking Nevada football. Year two of Brian Polian. Let's just start from the top.
We're not going to talk about the most important sports thing that happened today?
Oh, sorry. Take over with that, please.
Yes. For those of you who did not watch, the World Cup is finally over. Woo-hoo! And it ended. Yeah. For those of you, soccer haters. Yeah, they're all celebrating.
Fantastic game today. In the background, I have Portland versus Seattle right now.
Which is the best rivalry in MLS.
Yeah, correct.
Joe Sanders. did you watch the game today?
I was actually out and about, and I did not get to watch it. I have it recorded, but I'm probably not going to watch it. I might watch overtime period. I recorded it, but I had obligations, didn't with the kids and other stuff. Not enough time to put away 2 hours to watch it today. I watched a lot of games, though, but not the final.
So
sorry. That means I'm out of the conversation.
It was 0-0. Oh, and this is spoiler for those of you who haven't watched it yet, but I assume it's 8 o'clock and you already have come home from work and have already watched the game.
And this is Monday as well, so, yeah.
Yeah, and this is Monday as well. 0-0. Game, very exciting for 0-0. It wasn't just passing around the midfield. People were taking their shots.
Messy.
Did you see the goal that won the game?
Yes, I did see that goal.
Oh, my goodness. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Did we say Germany won as well? Did you mention that?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. One. You just mentioned the game was over.
Yes.
This is what, their third World Cup win in
fourth.
Oh, fourth, yeah. So they've won 20% of the World Cup titles have gone through Germany.
Yeah. So, but their last title was in 1990. So.
And first one. This is the first, I guess, also the first team from Europe to win in South America ever. Is that right as well?
It is. First team to win in the Americas.
Well, I guess technically it's in North America in 94, so yeah.
Well, Brazil won in 94.
I mean, but for a European team, I just said South America, but Americas, if you want to count 94, which it did officially happen because there was a World Cup game in 94.
Yes, there was. Oh, I guess it would just be in South America because... Oh, whoops, I was looking at the wrong thing.
So who won? Let's move on. Are we good?
Yes, we're good.
Watch some soccer. Pick a team. I'm actually picking a team. I'm going to pick Everton to watch this year. Is that a good team to pick?
He's going to pick the American soccer team in the EPL. Yes.
Tim Howard.
A very good team to follow.
Because they're not amazingly good, and they're not terribly bad. They're right in the middle, essentially. Upper half, right?
No, they're totally upper half. They're consistently making Europa League. I'm still waiting for them to make Champions League. But they're a very good team to follow.
It's not Manchester United.
Honestly, if I didn't choose Manchester United as my team, what was it, 8 years ago when I started following soccer, actually 9 years ago, I would either be an Everton fan or I would be a Southampton fan.
Okay.
Because Southampton has only recently been promoted, and they've got a fun style of play as well.
One reason I'm following them because you got Tim Howard, who somehow did not make the finalist for the goalie of the tournament, which is stupid.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
And then also, SB Nation has an Everton website, so that's why I'm following them to get some news that I know about.
That's a good reason. But you also get to watch a whole bunch of Belgians who actually beat the team, yes. You know, like Kevin Morales and Romelu Lukaku.
And the best thing is, you can watch more games in America than you can in the UK with the EPL, with NBC Sports. That's a good thing, too.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to watch more. I go to somewhere else, Salt Lake games. I'm watching some games now. Put a little more time into it. So see how this soccer thing is. I mentioned this like last year, the year before, but I decided not to do anything about it. So you can watch the games pre-college game day and college football on Saturday and make a big football day out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And when college football season's over, and then you can consistently watch on Saturdays.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Nevada. Here we go.
Nevada.
Brian Polian. Yeah, we have to. Sorry, I know you're going to be say they're 0-12 because they're terrible and they're your rival.
No, see, here's the thing is I don't wish Nevada to have an 0-12 season. No, I totally wish Nevada to have an 0-12 season, but I know it's not going to happen. They're not that horrible. They're just not. Well, we'll get into it.
Here's what we know. Last year was, okay, Brian Pullen had a big jump last year. Chris Ault retired, Hall of Fame coach, the father of the pistol offense. He's up there with probably, who was the, I get names wrong a little bit. Who was the San Diego Chargers, San Diego State coach that passed away recently?
Who? Tony Gwynn?
No, coach, football. The coach. Oops. Don, oh, jeez. People are probably yelling, but he was basically started the spread offense years ago. For he was a former San Diego State coach, and he coached the Chargers.
See, now you're making me curious. Here, I'll tell you in one second.
I can't think of, but he could be up in that category of innovator off, like even
Don Coryell.
Yeah, Don Coryell. That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure it's correct. He what did the spread offense? Throwing the ball around a lot, that type of stuff. He's in that category, similar to, maybe not necessarily towards Bill Walsh, but he could say that for the college game of how he revolutionized using the pistol. He came out of retirement. Nevada was nothing, less than nothing. Bringing out Colin Kaepernick, go pretty very close to a BCS bowl game, if not for choking against a lie in 2010. And then you bring in Brian Pullen. The only issue I had with him as a coach was the lack of experience. He was at Notre Dame, Texas A&M, a lot of good programs as their special teams coach and recruiting coordinator. And yes, he brought in Johnny Manziel, probably even helped the Manti Te'o at Notre Dame, those type of players, but you're not a head coach. And that was the big knock on him. And it kind of proved that last year when they didn't make a bowl game and everybody thought they had the talent with Brandon Wimberly. Running back was an issue because they went 4-8 overall. But Don Jackson wasn't very good. He was a junior college transfer, I want to say. Running back, it was a mess there. Wimbley couldn't do anything. Brock Hecking was the only thing on defense. Fajardo got hurt early on in the year when the Florida State game. It was just a mess, and part of it was coaching, and part of it was they lost a lot of guys to injury.
Here's the thing, though. You can't necessarily blame Pullen for not being a coach because, really, Nevada football – if Coach Ault wasn't coaching the team in the last 10 years, remember Chris Ault coached for forever for the Wolfpack, but Nevada's only had 3 winning seasons without him as a coach.
True.
So, you know, this isn't going to be something that should be really expected of Nevada football, or shouldn't be expected. It should be expected.
Just because they had Colin Kaepernick?
No, it's not because they had Colin Kaepernick, but remember that in 2006, before they had Colin Kaepernick, they had Jeff Rowe was the quarterback.
That's right.
And, you know, Nevada only went 7-5 that year as well. So even when Ault was coaching, and that was really the first year of the implementation of the pistol, was 2005-2006.
When he came out of retirement, he brought that full force. Because he was exactly. The AD for a couple years, and was like, this is unacceptable, I'm taking over this program.
Exactly. You have Ault who's pretty much hands-off now. So either Nevada has to stay with the pistol.
Which they did by keeping their offensive coordinator, who was at Temple or BC for like a day.
Or, you know, you have to create your own identity. And that would be something that, if I was Brian Pullen, I would be open to.
You had to do that. You had to keep him.
You have to keep the pistol?
Well, especially
keeping. I don't think you have to keep the pistol.
Well, look who they kept. His name's an odd name, so I'm looking up now. But keeping their offensive coordinator from the year before. Because he said, I want to keep the pistol. It's what Nevada football is. So that's
it's what Nevada football invented.
Well, that same thing that they are Nevada. I guess they're synonymous with the pistol in Nevada football.
Well, this is one of those things that I think with Ault leaving, it's a complete end of the era type thing. And if for Pullen to build his own identity as a football coach, he has to be willing to change some things around, mix some things up. maybe getting rid of the pistol. You can keep a spread offense, or you could keep, you know, pistol doing some of the things, but not running it all the time.
I'm wondering. I'm wondering if, because the guy's name is Nick Rolovich. Should they?
Yeah, Rolovich.
Rolovich. Here's the thing. It's like when any guy. It's like when Brady Hoke took over for Chuck Long at San Diego State. He's not. They're not going to be dummies and say and not do what Rich Rodriguez did at Michigan. It's like, here's my offense. We're doing it this way. Here's my way. Brady Hoke eased it into the spread attack.
Well, yeah, and you have to do that, especially when you're a new coach who's done so many things for so many years.
Yeah, then Rocky Long comes in. They're keeping elements of it, but he's more of a one or two tight end set, two running backs. They ease it back in. So you got to be smart with it. This seemed like they're more doing a pistol more straight up and keeping exactly what it was.
Instead, exactly.
I don't think they're going to ease out of it because it's hard to – well, it shouldn't be too hard because a lot of teams have an implement of the pistol. But I don't know what their talent level is or who they have on their roster. And not even just talent, but just for position-wise. Like, do they have enough tight ends? Do they have enough wide receivers? Do they have enough linemen to run a different offense? It seems like keeping Rolovich, they're going to stick with what they have.
It makes sense.
So it's actually – do you have anything else to add on this part?
I mean, okay. So here's my thing. Brian Polian, defensive-minded coach. Defense didn't improve that much last year.
Defense has always been terrible, so that's not a surprise.
Well, look, let's just put it this way. Defense, by Nevada standards, was still bad.
True. Even with Brock Heckin and everything, they still – the famous bullet there in Reno. The only defensive game they had really good at, because I remember – because everybody knows I do BYU stuff as well, watching that BYU-Nevada game. They shut down that BYU offense with Jamal Williams running the ball on Taysom Hill for at least a half, the quarterback.
Yeah.
But then second half, let's make adjustments and we're good to go, and they just crushed them. BYU did.
So, yeah. I guess, I don't know. As an introduction, it's really... Well, what is Nevada football? And I think for Brian Polian to be successful, he really needs to build his own identity for Nevada football. If you keep elements of the pistol, great. You keep elements of the pistol. But you don't have to run the same exact thing over and over and over again.
I think he is. We'll know more when Media Day comes around. And what did you say was the week of July 20th? The Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yes. Basically a week and a half from now. We'll know, but from keeping Rolovich and having who they have in their positions and having Cody Fajardo under center, he's so familiar with that, they'll keep it. Who knows? We'll know more, but it seems like they're going to keep it going forward, and it can work. If they know the elements of it, they'll be fine. It's just that Alt was always inventing, trying something new. When he had Kaepernick, he had 2 years in a row of three guys getting over 1,000 yards on the ground. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And so with the team from last year, 4-8, so what do you think their big turnaround is going to be? Because they returned – let's start on the defense, because offense we can talk forever. Let's actually start defensively. They returned 10 starters, but off a terrible defense. Is it one of those things where, yeah, the defense, they bring back starters, but it's a very bad group of bunch are bringing back. So is it really going to be a difference?
I don't know. See, here's the thing. Their defensive line, they're bringing back...
Everybody.
Pretty much everybody, yeah. They lose two guys, but they're bringing back tons of people. Their defensive line wasn't great outside of Brock Heckin. I mean...
You could say Rakeem Yates was okay. He did pretty reasonably well.
He did reasonably well, but how many times was his name really called throughout the whole season?
No. He needs to probably slim down. Well, yeah, 6'2", 270 is probably a bit too large to play that position.
He needs, yeah.
And he's not a defensive, if he's a defense, he's not a defensive end like Heckin, he's 255. But if you're a tackle at 6'2", you're chubby at that point at 270. If you're 6'4", right. Fine, but no. You got to get that down at least a little bit here and there. But look at the thing there at the bottom, like looking by the advanced stats and those type of stuff from Football Outsiders and everything, they are below 100 in pretty much every category. Like standard down yards per carry, they're 121st in the nation, giving up 3.5 yards per carry. passing downs, I guess it's what's L, whatever the per carry. They're terrible at every position. Six. The only thing they're good at was adjusted sack rate.
Right, and their stuff were, and their adjusted sack rate, they ranked 87th in the country.
They got to the quarterback well, but that's kind of weird. Looking at these numbers now, I didn't really study them before, but it seems odd when they're so low at giving up the yards per carry that they get sacked so many times, because it's not like teams are throwing against them all that much.
No, but, I mean, they ranked fairly high, 18% in stuff rate, which is, I mean, it's not high. Once again, when we say high, we're talking about high for Nevada football, which is still below 50, you know, below the mid-level point.
There's 125 teams in the country, I believe, about there.
Yeah, there were 124 teams last year, so that means the halfway point was 62.
Yeah.
Then none of these teams are going to be above 60 at all.
Well, yeah, it's a position like they gotta do something to. They got to the quarterback well enough, but they gotta stop the line. Like they have a defensive end that's 227 pounds. Ian Say, who's supposed to be his junior sales nephew, I believe, supposed to come in and do amazing things. Yeah, he got 5 tackles for loss, broke up a pass, but
0 sacks.
No sacks. You're too small, and he's a junior college transfer, so it's not like he's out of high school. He needs to get to like 250 or something.
Well, and look at this. Just, I mean, even looking at the linebacking core, 2 sacks.
Yeah, your defensive tackle, defensive line, unless your defensive end like Hecking, you shouldn't be. Your linebackers should have more sacks than your defensive front.
Right, and really, what it is, Jonathan McNeil had 1 sack, and Jordan Dobridge had 1 sack. Where's
it coming from? They got to the quarterback okay, like tackles for loss were pretty.
But they couldn't finish the job.
Yeah, they just can't keep going. Teams could do what they want against a run or pass. It's just they gotta get to the right position to make the plays. It's like I kind of mentioned last week, my free football for dummies. Defensive line, you gotta get to the quarterback. You gotta stop the running game. Linebackers gotta get to the quarterback and stop the intermediate passing game. DBs, guard the wide receivers. I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but you don't want to have your defensive fronts have not just more sacks, but easily outpace your linebacking group for sacks.
Right, exactly. And here's another thing to interest. This is a really, really, really deep team. I'm finally looking at all the players who are returning for linebacking core, defensive line, even the secondary. They've got tons of people returning.
Yeah, they returned 38 lettermen and 10 starters on defense.
But just your numbers are so horrible. Do you really want everybody to be returning? I mean, if I'm Nevada, I don't want to be ranked below 100 for everything, and that's what you see.
They were second to worst. They gave up over 7 yards per play. Only New Mexico is worse than them.
But I mean,
500 total yards per game—that's ridiculous.
And this isn't like a necessarily young group of squads. Like I understand, last year they were all sophomores and juniors. Because we did mention how they were a young squad last year.
And they played Florida State, and who let them up, but still.
But they have to improve. With that much depth, you have to improve.
I think they'll get better. I just think if they're going to make it back to the bowl game, they got to get to middle of the pack. And everybody knows I'm much higher in Nevada than most, due to mainly schedule scenarios helping them out quite a bit. They just need to be... They're already at middle of the pack in pass defense, but that was just because they couldn't stop the run. If you're giving up 7 yards per play and over 6 per rush, something that means your front 7's more worse than your back 4. It means you're not getting pressure to the quarterback at all for the running game. The running game. The running back's able to do what they want. They can find a hole, and what that does, you have to bring your linebackers in closer. You can't just have your... I'm not sure... Whatever their down lineman situation is, if I believe they do a hybrid setup of a 3-4, I believe, or 4, one of the two, some sort of hybrid. It changes all the time, so it's hard to tell exactly what they're doing at that spot. But But you can't. You got to have your defensive. You got to have your front four. Whoever's in your front up there, front seven in general, overall, have to stop the running game a little bit, and specifically those down linemen. And they didn't get the job done in stopping.
It can't just be Brock Heggen.
Yeah, and they're going to double him and do all that stuff. They got sacks because it's probably the fourth quarter. They're still keeping the starters in. They're throwing every now and then, and that's about it. The running game, I get, like, Jonathan McNeil had over 80 tackles. Matthew Lyons had over 70, but I don't see it. Like, it's you can't tell.
Or if those tackles have to be behind the line.
Yeah, and you can't tell. Yeah, just or at least at the line. It's hard to tell just by pure numbers instead of mixing in the run yards per game and those type of things to see how well or bad, how good or bad they really are. They just need to, I think for them to improve greatly, that front seven, even though we know Heckin and other guys can get the QB, they got to get to the running back and stop the play before they can any chance to go crazy and get a big burst. Heck, shave off 2 yards, give up 5.2 a carry instead of 7.2 and you're good to go probably.
Exactly.
And then,
So here's the strength of Nevada's defense.
They have a strength?
Yes.
The more.
Secondary. Somehow, they only gave up like...
What, 20?
21st. They ranked 21st in passing, but ISO
PPP, I'll be done 5 minutes. Pick a book.
Which, if, like, let's see. How do I describe passing ISO PPP?
Okay, I'm done. Go.
The best way I can describe that statistic is... They were good at giving up play. Like, they were good at, like, avoiding the big play.
Love you, too, Gwenny. Yeah, so, that helped, but is the secondary really strength because the teams just ran, like, right at will on them? That's the conundrum we have.
And that's the problem. They didn't give up too many big plays. I mean, only Navy and Florida State gave up less big plays than they did. But when you still have a secondary who's making...
Tackles,
48 tackles, 34 and a half
too
tackles.
Too many.
It is. It's way too many.
You want to have your guys probably in the, 40 is not too bad, but you want to keep them in the 30 range for your top tackler. Mid-30s is fine. I don't know. It's a wait and see in their defense because it's hard to say they're going to get worse, but they got to be better than last year. So let's go to the offensive side of the ball.
Because that's really the fun stuff to talk
about. That's what we want to talk about. And we know Nevada's offense is going to be exciting. They're going to put up points. They're going to make plays. And they have possibly the best quarterback in the Mountain West heading into the season, Cody Fajardo. For people who may be yelling and throwing their MP3 player around, yes, he could be, out of the quarterbacks returning, he's one of the best.
But before, did you take a look at the adjusted win-loss record for Nevada last year?
I can momentarily. What do you have to say about that?
Wow. Apparently, if you took the adjusted win-loss, they were 1-11. How bad this team really was.
Yeah. And their win, it's not UC Davis, San Jose State.
Yeah. Yeah. And that includes a powerful offense, too. Mm-hmm. And once again, now we can segue into the offense because this offense is still going to be remaining powerful.
And the way, really quick, for those who are not aware, I definitely check out Football Study Hall or footballoutsiders.com. But the way the adjusted win-loss schedule, the way it works, comes out to be, is they take a team, if I recall, they take your team as average as possible, I think. Or they compare a team against the average and then go against that game. So they try to see where your team fits along a scale. I'm probably butchering it, but it's something where they – I bet you I am butchering it. But if I recall reading exactly what it means, it's something against how your team fares against the average that day. You know what I mean? So, like, if you're the 60th team in the country, they take your performance and compare it to that team in the middle for that day. Something along those lines. This stuff, I look at it. Some of them I get easily, some I don't, but it's something along those lines. But check it out. Regardless, it just shows you UNLV – Or excuse me, not UNLV. They beat UNLV. They would not have won the Cannon last year. They would have won one game. And that's kind of how that works out, I guess, if that made any sense. Probably not. But offense. Offense is where we're going. What's your initial thoughts with the offense that's returning 7 starters but not their best wide receiver in probably school history?
I was about to say, seven returners on offense, starters. But, man, hey, Cody Bergeron needs somebody to pass to. Look, I get it. Richie Turner, huge target last year. But, I mean, he wasn't – Wimberly was targeted 136 times last year. He almost had 1,000 yards receiving. That's unheard of.
In that offense, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you're going to have Richie Turner returning. You're going to have Aaron Bradley. But really, I think the person who's going to look really good this year and who's the player to look out for on the receiving core, Hassan Henderson.
Yeah, he's actually targeted. He got the most yards per target last year. He has 70, caught seven, had the second best pass, or excuse me, third. Well, hold on.
Try that again.
Out of wide receivers, he was the second. Like, his catch rate was 69%. Right there with Wimberly, right behind some tight ends. And for wide receiver, if you can catch 7 out of 10, that's a good day.
Absolutely.
He wasn't targeted a ton, but he still made – here's the thing. Going through, like, his target rate, which is about 10.5%, I believe, right here.
Yes.
He still caught 42, which is fourth on the team. Compare that to Wimberly, who had three times as many targets. Yet he did catch almost five times the amount. But you get my point. The amount of targets he's getting to him, he's making most of those plays.
Exactly. And so this was one of the things that I was talking about at our very early preview season, where I said Nevada is not going to do as well this year because Cody Fajardo, who will Cody Fajardo throw to? We know who he's going to throw to. But whether or not they're going to be able to make those catches is a completely different story.
I think they'll have somebody step up. They're going to keep the same percentage-wise because we discussed earlier, Pistol's not going anywhere. It'll be around to run the ball for the most part of the game. They might tailor back the throwing a bit because you're losing Wimberly, but then if you think Henderson's going to be the guy, he's the highest rated guy on their team for what skill position outside of Don Jackson's a three-star player and John Jackson's running back. If they're going to have him step up and Henderson, which looks to be the case, I think they'll start off still running the ball more than gradually. Now it's going to be a huge difference, just a couple percentage points for run-to-pass ratio, but they're going to want to stick to the running game more. But if we go to the running game, the transition here, it was a tough go last year. There, like I said, there's injuries which have an issue to it. They lose Chris Solomon, but he only had 286 yards. They need Kendall Brock and Don Jackson to be a good threat. At least Don Jackson to get at least 600 yards on the ground. He only had 332. He's supposed to be the starter. He did okay.
Is he really supposed to be the starter over Kendall Brock?
Last season. Because last year they brought in a lot of guys. So yeah, though this year it's going to be Kendall Brock. It's going to be what they did before. It's not. They're going to have a starter, but Kendall Brock will get a lot of the carries, and Don Jackson will probably be. He'll be in as many plays as Brock for the most part, unless they, for some reason, do a one back situation, which probably not going to be the case too often. You'll see them in that diamond formation. You'll see them in the split backfield in the pistol. They'll be on the field for probably almost every play together. Brock will get more carries than throws to him, but Jackson, they need to have the combination of Brock, Rizzardo, and Jackson get at least 2,000 yards, and that should be easy. Probably 2,500 to be realistic, to be good.
Yeah. I think the rushing team will probably still be... It's so hard to analyze because this was supposed to be one of the top offenses in the country last year.
Not quite.
And they weren't. So, I mean...
Yeah, they were middle of the pack in the Mountain West.
They were middle of the pack in the Mountain West. They were middle of the pack in the nation.
Because even Air Force, who's terrible, is usually top 10 in the nation. I get their offense is different, but Nevada's offense is just as unique. Nevada was actually 45th, so top 3rd, essentially. But
it's not just unique, it's explosive.
Yeah.
And I get it. Fajardo went down with injury. Tyler Stewart had to step in. But even when he stepped in, he was still 21 of 37 for 251.
Yeah, he's a good – he's probably the best back in the league, perhaps. Him and Daryl Garrett of Utah State probably start at any other team, if not their own.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And then real quick, the offensive line's part of it too. You can't just say, oh, quarterback, running back. You got to have somebody – because that was one of our questions we had coming in. Who's going to – block for the, like, how's the offensive line going to look?
Well, now that Joel Bitonio is gone.
Yeah, first team all Mountain West, 38 starts, gone out the window. It's going to, they still have some experience because you have Matt Gallus, who's had 24 starts, Kyle Roberts, double digits, Jeremy McCauley with double digit starts as well. They just need to find a left tackle, which they lost their backup as well, so I'm not sure who the left tackle is at the moment. They're probably still, they're still battling that out. There's probably some depth chart floating around we could have looked up. But basically, they lost their top two left tackles, which is a huge loss. They might stick Connor Talbot there, left guard, who's had a handful of starts, move him to the outside if he can handle it. Because he's only 6'4", 290, and guards usually those beefy, fat guys. 6'4", 290, he can easily move to the outside and play left tackle, I'm assuming, based off his size. They'll be okay. It's just who's going to be that left guard and also left tackle and right guard. Right guard will probably go to Zach Brickle. Makes most sense. He had a few starts last year and played a bunch. They seem to have some depth, which they don't have. And that's an issue. If you're replacing two starters, which is fine, three of the five back is great. And have an experienced backup in Talbot if he's going to move to the outside. They may move, because they're probably not going to move Malcolm out there because he's 305, kind of bigger guy at 6'1". He's probably going to stick at left guard and they'll put Talbot outside. If those are your four starters, that's a good, that's a decent bunch. You need to find a fifth guy to play right guard, it looks like. But depth is not there. And that's the issue with all these Mountain West teams. There's no depth.
Mm. And really, I mean, do you want this kind of depth if they still weren't... I guess how would you... Do you want this kind of depth if this team was still kind of... Especially in offensive line, they didn't rank too great.
I don't know. It's... I think that, I don't know. This team is so confusing last year. It's hard to get a good read on them just because we have already mentioned 1,000 times. New coach, injuries mixed in throughout. So not, and so, and you lose key players from last year to this year.
It's one of those things. This should be always, Nevada should always be an above average team. And the fact that they aren't. I get it. New coach, everything like that. But when you have such an explosive offense, but your defense is as bad, giving up so many points.
Counters all that.
Yeah.
So let's get to the schedule. Let's move. I think year two of Poland will be much better than year one. He has a grasp on what he's doing for the first time ever as even a, like I said, he's only been a recruiting coordinator, never a special teams head coach, offensive coordinator, D coordinator, nothing. So let's just, we've already talked for almost 45 minutes, a bit long for a Nevada preview. But let's look at the schedule really quick. You know, first off, I'm high. I think they're in the running to win the West Division because it's wide open.
Yeah, you are.
People can laugh and say the case. My reasoning, Boise at home, Colorado State at home, San Diego State at home, Fresno State at home. That's a big deal. You can't tell me they're going to sneak a win or two out of that just because they're at home and... Because outside of Hawaii and maybe Autzen Stadium or playing at Ohio State, this playing at Reno and Mackey Stadium is one of the best home field advantages in the country.
I'm surprised you didn't list Bronco Stadium.
Boise. I was thinking of a few others, but I was thinking of a few off the top of my head. Boise, BYU, those are right there as well. Playing at LSU, Death Valley. Yeah, there's a lot, but they're up there. So let's just kind of go to Southern Utah. They're fine. Washington State, they should be fine.
Really? You think so?
Coach Leach.
Washington State made a bowl game last year.
Mike Leach spent a lot of time this offseason writing a book about Geronimo.
So?
Just saying, he's not his focus. we had him on our radio show a month or so ago. Out of the 12 minutes we had him, about 7 or 8, we're talking about Geronimo and leadership. Not saying being well-rounded is a bad thing, but...
Look, this was a Washington State team that was basically a flub-up from being 8-5 last year.
Yeah, coaching, major coaching here in that New Mexico bowl game.
So
you do you think it's a 50-50? Maybe I'm too.
I think at best it's a 50-50. Most likely it's a Washington State win.
Okay, what about, let's just move to Arizona really quick. They play Arizona on the road Saturday afternoon.
Nope, lost.
I'm going lost there too. It could be an interesting game because Arizona's losing some their running back. Oh, geez. I should pause and edit, find the running back. Who was the, Kadeem Carey. Yes, Kadeem Carey, thank you. I was like, I know who it is. I knew there's apostrophe in the name. He's great. He's back, or not back, excuse me. So that's, I think he can be close, but no. Then here's where let's just roll through these Mountain West games. San Jose State, they better win, right?
Yes, for them to even have a shot, they better win.
Then let's get to the very, very difficult part of the schedule. They host Boise, host CSU, go to BYU, go to Hawaii, host San Diego State. In our last show, we mentioned a tough stretch for Fresno. Hawaii, thinking Fresno for some reason. Hawaii. This is on par with that. Yeah, Hawaii's not that good, but they're going to Hawaii. And there's no off weeks either. These are all Saturday games.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
They get off week after San Diego State, which is great, but... And if you go back to the San Jose State game, that's also September 27th through November 1st, no off weeks. And San Jose State, like I said, should be a win. Offense,
they should be 2-2 by the time they hit this stretch.
At least. I could see 3-1. 3-1 or
fair
2. It's reasonable to say either 2-2 or 3-1. So we get this stretch with Boise State. We're almost a midseason point over the quarter pole, third way more precise. We should know who Boise State is with their quarterback situation and everything along those lines. Are you just going to say it's a flat-out Boise win?
I think it's still a flat-out Boise win. Yes, I know despite being at home, but I think Nevada losing a step, and I know this is a heated rivalry, I think in the ways that Nevada has lost the last couple of years to Boise, a little bit more heartbreaking, especially at home. Yeah. Okay, well, the last game at home, it was definitely heartbreaking. Nevada mounted that comeback and then lost it.
Okay.
I think it's still going to be an outright Boise win.
I think that is what it'll be close, but let's do these rapid fire really quick. Colorado State, what do you think, win or loss?
Well, I said Colorado State win when in the Colorado State preview, so I'm going to say Colorado State still win.
You think they're still going to win CSU?
Yep.
I say a win for Nevada. I need to go get me, okay, Daddy? Yeah, go. And then we got for BYU, if we go rapid fire, loss? Who do you dislike more, BYU or Nevada?
I dislike BYU more. But they're a better team.
I could see Nevada causing a ton of issues against BYU because their front seven's weakest it's been in a long time. But yeah, we're midway point. I'm going to say that is a loss. Did not Hawaii win, right?
So right there, that's either 3-4 or 2-5 for Nevada.
I could see them, best case scenario, those three games, 2-1.
Yeah, best case scenario, they're 2-1. Worst case, 0-3.
Maybe, yeah. At Hawaii, should be a win. San Diego State, I see that as a win.
Okay.
I don't know why. I kind of do. Just, it's at home. I get this idiot to say it's at home, but I don't understand why I'm saying that every week. It's a home game. It's a home game. I'm probably leaning around.
Because Mackey Stadium is one of the toughest places.
It is. It is. But this stretch, coming off Hawaii, two straight road games to two tough places to get to. Well, getting to BYU is not difficult, but playing there is. And Boise State. Oh, no, Boise State's at home. Excuse me. I'm looking.
Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii, sorry. I scrolled down too quickly. This stretch, oh man, maybe I'm probably changing my tune here. Yes. This stretch, it could be 1-4 looking at it now.
Totally.
I think it's not even like
we hate Nevada. It's me I hate Nevada, but you're higher on Nevada than I am, and this is still a
I'm kind of like our Hawaii discussion last week. We start off saying so good. Wait a minute, they're a terrible team. They're only going to win two or three next year. Here's what it comes down to me. Maybe they get the home field is huge. They should have a very good team this year. They should be getting the bowl game within the Mountain West. During this stretch, I could see either a vast extreme, anywhere from 1-4 to 4-1.
I could even see 0-5 because you have to travel to Hawaii.
I don't know about that. I will get you milk and I'm done. We're almost in 5 minutes.
But I'm just saying, it's possible.
It is, because 2010 Nevada beat Hawaii.
Yeah. 2010 Nevada lost to Hawaii, and that was their only loss.
Yeah, that's why. Did I say it the other way around?
You said 2010 Hawaii beat Nevada.
Oh, okay. All right, at Air Force win. Fresno
lost.
I don't know what Brandon Connett's going to be if he's his running quarterback. You know what I mean? We don't know if it's going to be Zach Greenlee, maybe, Condit, or if it's going to be somebody else.
Right.
At this point, we should know, but right now...
I'm still saying a Fresno State win.
Then what about... You're going to be at this Cannon game, right? UNLV hosting Reno?
Dude, I would love to be at that game.
I'm going to Nevada right now in that game. Go ahead. Other guy here.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
Oh. You know, it's not good. We're just quiet and thinking about what's going to happen.
Oh, it leaves the audience in suspense. That did he drop the call, or is he actually thinking? It just depends on how UNLV's season is going. But I could see UNLV retaining the camp for a second year.
Okay. A bowl bid could be on the line since Rebels cannot achieve that. I think a bowl bid could
be on the line for both teams, potentially.
I can see that, because if we go back to the top of the schedule, let's kind of go through a rundown really quick of what we think could happen overall, because we've been kind of throwing out they could do this, they could do that, they can go 4-1, 0-5 in the stretch. If we're going, like, my bet, if I go super bet, like, best case scenario, I would have them, let's see. Because I've already said I still think they could beat Hunt to win that West Division, but probably 9-3 is best case scenario.
9-3? Where are your three losses?
Let's go Arizona, BYU, and Boise State.
Okay. Best case scenario, I could see 9-3. Yeah, I could see 8-4 as best case. I could see 8-4 as best case, but realistically, I'm putting them at another 4-8 or 5-7 season.
Yeah, I think they're a bowl team regardless, because they at 12? They played Hawaii, but they're still at 12 games. Looks like
they've got 12 games. So you're telling me right now that they in that stretch, because okay, so I'll count it up. So SUU win, right? Washington State, you said win.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose State win.
Well, Arizona lost there, so they're 3-1.
Well, I'm just counting wins right now.
Oh, okay, yes. San Jose State win, yeah.
Okay. You said win Colorado State?
Yes, that's 4.
Okay, Hawaii?
5.
Air Force 6. And then UNLV 7. So you see a 7-5 season.
Yeah, I could easily see 7-5. Even that Colorado State's more of a swing game, I'm thinking, they're still 6, so they lose that. Like, not that they have any gimmies, but I think UNLV, they could be fine in. If I'm being realistic, like worst case scenario, it's probably 4 wins. But anything than a bowl, not getting to a bowl game would be a major disappointment, in my opinion.
I think they're going to be 5-7. I honestly, realistically, I think they're going to be 5-7. The wins: SEU, San Jose State, Hawaii, Air Force, UNLV. And that UNLV is a major. Those are the 5 wins.
Okay. This team's all over the board.
All their tough games. I know they get all their tough games at home, but I just don't.
They got to win one or two of those, you would think.
You would think, yes.
That's where my optimism is coming from.
If you win Colorado State, you win Colorado State. But remember, when we did the Colorado State preview, we were like, holy hell, Colorado State could actually be good or better than we think.
That's correct. It's not an... Well,
inaccurate.
I was going to say a double negative there, not inaccurate. That's what we discussed. CSU, Garrett Grayson could be one of the could be the best returning passing quarterback.
So, yeah, and here's the thing. These were the points of contention that Bill C had in his preview roster. Overall talent in question, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Nevada regressed for the last 3 years. Minimal big play potential. Defensive line isn't bigger. It got really pushed around, and that's what he talked about. We missed that. The punter's gone. And the three most beatable Mountain West opponents are on the road.
Beatable.
Which are very difficult places to travel to. Air Force, high. Hawaii, low and far. And UNLV, rival team.
That's some good points there. I just think with what they have, they should be a bowl team.
You would think, yes.
Like last year. Like we said at the beginning, we're going to wrap up now because we're at the point of, hey, let's repeat what we're saying. They should all, like I said, with their offensive structure and scheme, they should be a bowl team. As should Air Force be every year. Navy should be every year. Texas Tech should be a pretty good team every year, the way they throw the ball along. Washington State's getting to that point. With the being a unique offense, Georgia Tech in that same category. You take advantage of what you have. Nevada's more Washington State than I would say like Navy, just because they mix up both run and pass, where those others are exclusively run or pass. They got to get a bowl game. That's what I'm thinking. They're going to be at worst. Said, I think they can 7 wins is where they're. I think they're 6 wins. Bowl game. I'm just going to go bowl game. Is my baseline highest? I could see them maybe somehow winning the West Division because it's going to be. You're not going to have an undefeated team win the West Division. They'll probably have. I can see the winner having 2 losses in conference play. 5-2 in conference play, I could see happening. I'm not saying that's Nevada, but I'm saying the champion in general.
No, totally.
So, do you have any tidbits you want to add to Nevada Wolfpack?
I really tried to keep my Nevada hate to a minimum today.
I think you've done a reasonably good job of that.
But I still don't see a winning season.
That stretch is going to be tough. I think that stretch from San Jose to San Diego, September 27th to November 1, bookend by open dates, will fate their season. They need to win at least 3 of those. Because if they win 3 of those, they win 1 at the beginning, or 2 at the beginning, and at least 1, and maybe they have a chance to win 2 before and 2 after. And so they need to win at least 3 games right there to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good way to end the show, I guess. Yeah, good. Yeah. Right there. So this has been our Nevada preview. It's kind of a hard exit we're going along here.
It's kind of been a slightly confused exit.
It's what we do. And also for those, we did not really go off topic. So there you go.
No, yeah. We continuously slate.
A little World Cup there. Top 50 countdowns starting officially tomorrow with the 50th and 49th selection. You guys are lucky it's fit number 50 is not a kicker. If not, we'd have had some trouble. The kicker did come in at 51. But check us out on Twitter. Check out Greek Padre, who actually surpassed 350. He's on his way to 400.
Yay! I'm at 360 now. Bring up the 400.
On his way to 400. MWC Connection for all the site news. If you want Summer League updates, we got those going on. If you want football updates, obviously those going on. We have San Jose State updates rolling in.
If you want soccer updates, they're probably not going to.
Follow Greek Padre for those soccer updates. Seattle Sounders updates, more specifically. But again, just check us out at mwcconnection.com. We'll probably bunch a couple in this week. Next is our New Mexico with your favorite coach.
Football Bob!
Football Bob, and we will check everybody out next week.